As my interview went on, people started drawing chairs up to get closer to the man who has spent parts of 6 decades playing, coaching, managing, and scouting baseball. Only one Negro League player can be added next week, but the past justifies much more than the 11 currently enshrined.
Maybe 15 guys left that should be in the Hall of Fame. Leon Day is the only one that's on that list that's still alive, and I would like to see him go in while he is alive. He is Hall of Fame material. See, you got Willie Wells, Smokey Joe Williams, Hilton Smith, Bullet Rogan, Willie Foster should be in the Hall of Fame. John Donaldson should be in the Hall of Fame. These are guys that just off my head, I'm calling their names. All of them Hall of Famers. And one day we're hoping that they will be in there.
It was because of O'Neill's suggestion to Cooperstown that the Negro Leagues receive extra consideration. Until this year, only one name could be selected from a field that lumped Negro Leaguers and white managers, executives, and umpires all together.
I talked with them last year about this. I said, I think the Negro League baseball players should be on a separate ballot. And they said, why? I said, because they don't have much of a chance here. Because how would a Leon Day, how is he going to be elected? And he's against Leo DeRocha. But the simple reason was this. You know Leo DeRocha from D-ball until he finished managing the major leagues. But you just got a few stats on Leon Day. And Leon Day is more or less word of mouth, what we tell you about Leon Day and what the few things that's been written about Leon Day, that's all you got.
Baseball has moved from the inner city to the suburbs, in the process losing a segment of black audience through the turnstiles. O'Neill says baseball has always been a blue-collar game.
We don't have that many blue-collar black people anymore. We used to have a lot of them. But the jobs left them. The jobs left them. They don't have the job. They can't afford to go to the baseball games. They don't have these jobs like they had at one time. Now, the guys that's got the jobs is the guys that would be standing here holding this mic for me.
The big kids and young men and women playing sports most likely got an early start on their chosen activity.
They grew up with this. This kid grew up with baseball. See him right there? He grows up with baseball. This is why he will always attend baseball. But the other guy, no. And see, in the inner city, what the kids are doing is bossing the basketball. That's right. They're bossing that basketball because it's so easy. See, put up a basket right there. Put it up on the playground. And you'll see a kid that might be by himself. It might be 10 o'clock at night. He's up there shooting that basket. He can do that. But he can't do that with the baseball because somebody got to catch it and throw it back to you. You know what I mean?
Buck O'Neill was a teammate of Jackie Robinson during the 40s. He later scouted for the Chicago Cubs, bringing in future Hall of Famers Ernie Banks and Lou Brock. In 1962, he was appointed baseball's first black coach. And over 30 years later, the Kansas City Royals seek out his advice in judging player talent. O'Neill notes the black talent in the dugout and upstairs in Major League front offices is beginning to make itself known.
Baseball is this. A-ball. Oh, we started playing baseball together in college. You're my friend. All right? If I get to the top and manage a baseball team, I want you to be my coach. So it's a kind of buddy-buddy thing in a way. They don't hire a new man most of the time. They'll go back one of the older guys that's doing. You just pass this thing around. You pass this thing around, and every once in a while, you come up with a new guy. So we're getting the black guys there, and the front office, we're getting some guys in the front office. Yeah, but owning a ball club, hey, take a whole lot of money. Take a whole lot of money. What kind of corporation? What do we have? What are we in that generate enough money that we can buy a baseball club? And one thing is hard to buy because there's so many other people out there want to buy a baseball club. I'm going to buy a baseball club for $80 million. I can sell it next week for $180 million.
A man who exemplifies the adjective young before his 82 years can't hide his passion for baseball and doesn't care to.
I could talk to somebody every day. Yeah, I could go someplace every day and talk to people, kids, a group like this, or whoever. Yeah.
Thanks for the memory, sir.
Anytime.